experience true lasting change in your life, and you can go back and get that. But this week, you've showed up at the right time this week, because we're going to be talking about finances. This is actually the third most requested question. We're saving the second one to deal with next week about relationships. But so many people are dealing with finances and struggling, and I thought I would save you the time and me the time to tell you the quick, easy answer. And here it is. Just give a $100 donation and you can have your prosperity blanket at the end of the service, and you won't have to worry about finances any longer. Hey, by the way, another joke. You ever wonder, I don't know if y'all realize that was a joke or not. You ever wonder why cows never have money? No. Please pray for my wife for a sense of humor, by the way. The reason cows never have any money is because the farmer is always milking it dry.
Amen.
Honestly, you know, most people, when I talk about them or about church, when they find out that I'm a pastor, I try to be an undercover pastor most of the time. I try to get to know people before the conversation leads to that. Hey, what do you do for a living? And I tell people, well, I'm a pastor. It seems like I lose them right there. But if they ever let me talk to them more, if they don't go to church or not, they don't even believe in God, the thing that always seems to come up is the church is just wanting my money. Or the church is against sex. The church wants my money and the church is against sex. And it's funny to me, because most of the problems in our culture have to do with money and sex. In fact, when I counsel people, a lot of times I've dealt with people in my profession long enough now, when they come to me and say, Pastor, you know, me and my wife, we need to talk to you, or can I have a few minutes of your time? I almost want to ask them, money or sex? Money or sex? What's the issue there? Well, Pastor, you know, can he talk to us? We're dealing with some things. Money or sex? Can he talk to my son? Can he talk to my son? He's having some problems. Sex. And so it just seems that this thing is so big that most of the world just totally disregards what the Bible has to say about this. And please don't raise your hand, because this would be embarrassing for me too. But if you would say, you know, one of my biggest life regrets in my life has to do with money or sex, you raise your hand. All of us would probably say, you know what, that's probably one of my biggest life regrets. But most of us won't listen to what God has to say about those things. And most people out in the world think that the church is always wanting your money, or they just not want you to have sex. And so I want to deal with this up front. In fact, I've struggled with this message. I don't know. Some pastors tell me that they can, you know, get a sermon together the Saturday night before. I can't do that. I'm not smart enough. But I've struggled with this message so much. In fact, I've tore up three messages to give you what I feel like God wants you to hear this morning, because I struggle with this issue. I struggle about talking about it. Let me tell you why. My first position as a paid minister was at a very large church as one of the college pastors there. And the church was growing and booming. When I went on staff there at the church, we had around 600 people attending on Sunday. 3 months after I joined staff at that church, it went to over 1,000 people. I mean, we had boom growth. And the church was really really grounded, really fundamentally grounded when I first got there, and focused on reaching other people and salvation of souls and helping people see delivered and changed. But somewhere along the line, probably about a year after I got there, things started changing. Things started shifting to where the focus became money. In fact, some of the things that we had stopped talking about, the people who got saved in the service, and the staff would talk about how the offerings were over $1 million every Sunday. And, you know, that's like, well, yeah, praise God about that. But what about the souls? You know, what about the souls? And it's just this greedy prosperity thing started creeping. It wasn't an upfront attack where you would see it. It kind of crept in like a snake and just got in the minds and the hearts of some of the staff there. And God used that to soften some of the understanding and discernment of the pastor, to where a guy stepped in because, you know, there was a visionary to create an even bigger church, bigger facility. And God crept through, Satan's crept through in that and caused a guy to come in and deceive and say, hey, I'm going to make all that easy for you to have your new facility. We're going to sell bonds. We're going to sell bonds. Well, these were not licensed bonds. You don't just sell bonds. And I was 22 years old. I didn't know anything. And so all this was being talked about, and even a pastor and the staff was talking about it, and I was just like, okay, well, I guess they know what they're doing. But it always felt weird to me. In fact, they really pushed these bonds in the church, and they made sure that everybody kind of was guilted into buying them. And God just absolutely told me, no, don't buy that. And I said, the pastor found out that one of his staff was not buying these bonds, and he got really upset with me. And he said, why aren't you buying the bonds? We're asking that the people buy, and the leadership needs to step up. Why don't you buy the bonds? And I said, you know what, Pastor? This really just don't feel right to me. And I know I haven't said anything up until now, but I can't do that. I just can't do that. And many people in the church had put another mortgage on their house to buy these bonds because they were promising like 10 to 20% in return. Well, long story short, you probably even heard about it on the news. These bonds were fake. The guy that came in was fake. He took all the money that people were giving for these bonds. He went out and blew it all on prostitutes and stuff and all kinds of things like that. And the church just went, collapsed. I lost my position because they didn't have the money to pay me any longer, and they got rid of me. And so that's why I'm telling you, I have such a hard problem talking about finances in church because I've got such a bad taste in my mouth about this idea of church and finances. Can anybody relate to that? Amen. I mean, have you heard stories? Have you seen stories about this? And so I have this opposition of even talking about it sometimes, but listen to me. God really has been dealing with my heart, and he says, Chris, if you love your people enough, you'll show them the truth about this issue because most of us are really having problems with this. And most of us are not experienced a blessed life that God has called us to live in this. So I'm going to give you the 5 points that I wrote actually 2 whole sermons about and gave so many scriptures and supporting these points. I'm going to give you these 5 points. So we're going to talk about them briefly. And then we're going to talk about the heart of why we don't do it. And we're going to see what Jesus actually has to say about this subject and how I believe God has called me to help all of us in this room. We're going to have a breakthrough today that's going to absolutely change our lives. Are you ready for that? I'm ready for it. So here it is. Here's the 5 things that you need to know about God's plans for your finances, okay? Number one, you need to work. Now, I know under some people are disabled, some people are retired. I'm not talking about you. I'm not putting a guilt trip on you. But if you're able-bodied and if you need money to live, you need to work. And it's a good thing to work. Amen. And they say, well, that's something easy for you to say, Pastor. You don't ever have to work. You just pastor. Well, let me just put it this way. That's another joke. Let me just put it this way. Before I had the blessing and the honor of this church allowing me to come on full time here, I don't know if I've ever been part time, but pay me full time. I've worked full time jobs. And so I've worked secular full time jobs in schools. I was teaching. And before that, I cut grass. And I was begging for anything. You know what God told me? He said, Chris, there's nothing beneath you to do. There's nothing beneath you to do. All work is honorable. Amen? Yeah, I don't have a problem. You know, I don't have a problem. If God is going to give me a job, I'm not above that position. Amen. So it's work for him. By the way, you don't work for your boss. You work for God. Amen. And God gives you increase through your company. God pays you. God does that. So don't get mad at your boss. You know, that you're working for God. All right. So work. Say that with me. Work. By the way, I call this my getting a handle. We're going to talk about 5 things, 5 fingers to get a handle on your finances. Number 2 is give. Oh, hide your wallet, Bertha. He's talking about giving. I knew it was coming. He's about to pass the plate around. I've never passed the plate around. I'm not going to start today. But you need to understand that God wants you to give. God wants you to give for your benefit, not for his. God doesn't need your money. And I want to tell you, as the pastor here, I don't need your money. We don't need your money. Honestly, it's a joy to be able to give. It's a joy to be able to give. And I'm not pushing you to give because if you don't give, we won't have the money to turn the lights on next week. If it doesn't happen and we have to go next week without lights, we'll bring out the candles and we'll still worship Jesus.
Amen.
And so it's a privilege, it's an honor for me to give. I love this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. It says that God, who provides seed to thee or for the sower, say sower, not taker, not consumer, not hoarder, the sower, and bread for eating will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your, what's the purpose of all this? Righteousness. What's the purpose of all this? Righteousness, not prosperity. Righteousness, which manifests itself in active goodness, kindness, and charity. So God wants to bless you so you can be a blessing to others, not to yourself. Why? Because it really is more blessed to give than to receive. I've never seen a happy, greedy person. I never have. I've never seen a rich, greedy, happy person, and I've never seen a poor, greedy, happy person. By the way, it's not about the amount. Watch this. We're going to talk about this a few times. It's not about the amount. It's about the position that money holds in your heart. That's what it's about. And so God wants to give seed. He wants to give seed. He wants to bless you as you're willing to bless others. I've always thought of it this way, and dealing with finances in our lives and in this church, honestly, that we keep an open hand about everything. If God gives us something, we let Him give back through us to others as He allows us to. If I ever hold my fist and say, oh, no, I better hold on to that, it'll fall apart in my hands. But if you keep an open hand in your life, if you say, God, you give, how do you want to work through me? Here it is. God will always seem to give you enough. I've never seen the righteous go hungry or begging for bread. I've never seen those who are willing to say, God, your kingdom come, your will be done, go begging for bread. I've never seen that as you serve God in it. So say work. Give. All right, here's the next part. Save. So you worry, you people who worry sometimes and are like, well, I don't know. Here's your place. And by the way, I give on a percentage. Why do you give on a percentage? Because is that the right thing to do? I give on a percentage because it's easy. We give 10% because it's all right. I don't have to think about it. We give 10%. And I have people argue with me all the time. Well, is that a New Testament teaching, Old Testament teaching? I don't care. It's easy for me. It's easy for me, and I give, and God seems to be working, and I save on a percentage. Save on a percentage. Save on a percentage. And by the way, this is in the order that you need to live your life. Work, give, save, and then here's the next part, live. You know what? You're going to have to eat that month, aren't we? Well, unless you're fasting, and you're expecting all of your children to fast that month along with you. You're going to have to live. You're going to have to put gas in your car to keep going to, what, work. And you're going to have to, you know, have some type of water and hopefully take a bath and keep the lights on. So you're going to have to live. So down the line of work, give, save, I'm going to make sure that my bills are paid before I do the last one, fun. Now, I'm not against fun. I like fun. Fun is fun. But fun needs to be done in the right order. The reason that we have problems in our life is we don't follow this order this way. We like to flip it around, don't we? We're like, number one, fun. Fun. I want that. I need that. When you really don't need it, let's go have fun. Let's go have a good time at the weekend. And then we're like, we've had so much fun that we can't even think about, you know, paying the bills that month and saving. Ha, saving. I don't have nothing. I've had so much fun. I don't have anything to save. Give, really? Give. It's me. I'm the one that needs. And they're like, well, you know what? I've maybe had so much fun that you lose your job because you're hungover. You'd laugh, but this is reality. Reality. Now, by the way, I wouldn't tell you this if we weren't willing to do it ourselves. This church, you guys do this. You guys are working people. You give people. You're giving. This church is part of who you are. In fact, I just want to share with you some fun things God has been doing because of this, because of your hearts in this. God has opened up two doors for us to take some major steps in ministry. The first one is at Buddy and Tasha's house. They have a church house, by the way. They've moved into an old church on the east side of town over there across the river in an area that really just needs ministry. It really does. And we were just getting together praying one day, and I love Buddy and Tasha's hearts because they're like, look, we've got this big, huge sanctuary that we're not even doing anything with. Do you think God may want to use it? So what were they doing? They were giving, say, God, would you like to do something with that? And I'm like, well, and they brought this idea to me, and I was like, well, that's a neat idea. I don't know. Let's pray about it. We started praying about it. Some of the leadership here came together with us praying about it. We went there praying about it. We drove around the area praying about it, and you know what God was saying? I want to use it. I want to use it. And some of the men got together yesterday and kind of helped fix up some things to make it usable for people. And by the way, this church is going to be reaching out to that area soon. Starting next month, we're starting a small group to reach the poor, the needy, and the hurting, and the broken in that East Tallahassee area over there. Isn't that awesome? Come on, ain't that fun? I mean, that's fun to me. The next thing, and this is so amazing. This is so amazing. Me and Jennifer, by the way, all these kind of start with prayer. That's not a coincidence, by the way. Me and Jennifer went for a little prayer walk the other day. We took the boys with us, and we were like, let's walk around the old Walmart area and just pray. And Jennifer was like, God's going to give us something here. God's going to give us this place. And I'm laughing. You know, me, a little faith. I was like, God's not going to give us this. What are you talking about? That's nuts. And nobody just gives things like that. Nobody does. Yeah, but God does. And a little phone call, just out of curiosity about something, led to something where a businessman in this area has given this church free of use the property right behind 1220 Cafe to use for whatever God intends to use it for. And we're going to fix up that place, and we're going to have the opportunity to fix up that place, and we're going to turn that into an outreach center. And the youth are going to use it for worship and hangout time, but we're also going to have a soup kitchen, and we're going to feed people right there in the hub of town. Come on, ain't that fun? I mean, that's just fun to me. That's just fun. It's just like, okay, God provides what to the sower? Come on, God provides seed to the sower, right? And we're like, okay, God, we'll do something. And he's like, okay, here you go. Go, do it. Go do it. Ain't that fun? That's what God wants you to have in your life. So we got immediate opportunities for you to give. Listen to me. Give of your time, your talents, and your treasures. Your time, your talents, what has God gifted you to do? Maybe you have a gift of hospitality and you can love on people. Maybe you can just fill up some soup bowls and just love on people. Maybe your treasure. Maybe you have the abundant resources of money and you're able to give. We have immediate opportunities to get on board with this fun journey we're on. And let's change this community for the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
That's just fun to me. I just love that. And by the way, I love it because me and Pastor Larry were talking yesterday, and it occurred to us, we hadn't even thought about this until we were talking. This church, in budget-wise, is one of the poorest churches in this area. I mean, we have a fingernail worth of budget that some of the bigger churches in this area does. But listen, look what God is doing through us. God laughs at man's resources. He's like, what? And he was telling me, I won't mention who or where, that one of the churches that has these huge budgets is wanting to do what we're about to do, but have never been able to do it. I mean, come on, somebody. God gives seed to the sower. Those who live their life open-handed. It's like, okay, God, I'll let you use me. I'll let you do something with me. Now, the problem is with these things of working, giving, saving, living, fun, is we just don't do it. We just don't do it. And I want to look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6. You can go with me in your Bibles, and we're just going to talk about this briefly. And then the Lord has told me to do something here. It's not just teach you, but to pretend like we're all in my office together. I know we're a little cramped right now, and hopefully everybody took a shower last night. So we're all in my office together, and we're going to talk about this, and I'm going to pray for you to get delivered from this spirit that's behind these things that are keeping us from living this really fun, blessed life that God has for us. Matthew chapter 6, when we read this, I want you to think about who Jesus is talking to. This is called the Sermon on the Mount. The most famous sermon ever preached by any preacher anywhere, and he's preaching to some of the poorest people who ever lived. He's preaching to some of the poorest people who ever lived. In verse 19, he says, "So don't store up treasures here on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal." Wait a minute. Time out, Jesus. We don't have any treasure. We're poor. You must be talking about those Roman people or those Pharisee people. What treasures are you talking about? Just hang on. Verse 20, "But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your," what? Say it with me. "Heart will be also." You see, finances is not a material issue. It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. And you can be rich and greedy, but watch this. You can also be poor and greedy. It's a heart issue. It's never been about the amount. It's been about the position that money has in your heart. Where your treasure is, your heart will be there. Your affections, your desire, your devotion, those are heart terms. That's where your heart will be. And so he's speaking to these people who, by our standards, are very poor. They don't have much treasure. And Jesus says, look, I can see beyond all the amount or the not amounts in your bank account. I can see deeper than that. I can see your hearts. I can see your hearts. Let's go on in verse 22. "The eye is the lamp of the body, and if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness." Now, by the way, this is a term that was very familiar with them then. Like we have sayings now, like "it takes one to know one." That's probably a bad example of sayings. But they had sayings like we do now, and they understood this, and it's hard for us to understand it. I'm going to show you here in a minute exactly what Jesus is saying, but let's move on. Verse 24. "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Time out, Jesus. Time out. That's not what I was expecting you to say. Jesus runs deep into the issue. And it's almost like, how did he know? 2,000 years ago, how does he know? Because he's the Son of God. He knew what was going on in the hearts of people. And he tells us, no one can serve two masters. Your devotion has to be one-sided. By the way, for people to think that I can love God and love self and love my... You can't. Your devotion, your love has to be one-sided. You can't love your wife and another woman. It has to be one-sided. It does. You have to pick a side. And Jesus says, you can't love both God and money. That's not what I was expecting him to say. I thought he would say, you can't both love both God and the devil. But that's not what he says. This really isn't like a Satan issue and he's stealing all my stuff and he's just giving me a bad life. This really is a heart issue, isn't it? In fact, if your issue is that you're serving Satan, that's probably another sermon. Maybe even another church. I don't know. I'll pray about that, okay? So, it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. You can't serve both God and money. You can't love both God and money. And he says the extreme thing, either you will love the one and despise the other, or be devoted to the one and not to the other. You can't do it. I can't do it. We're not able to love both God and money. And listen, we've got to grab hold of this truth because we've got something in our hearts that are stealing the light that's supposed to be there. Because what Jesus was saying in the verses before that is he was talking about the greed that lurks in our hearts. And he says, if we let greed take over and it takes over our eyes and what we look at, we start lusting on it. We want more. We always compare ourselves with the Joneses. By the way, who's the Joneses and why do you want to keep up with them? If you're always wanting more, you're always looking for something else, greed starts taking over your heart. And Jesus says, how great is the darkness that is a result of that? It takes over all your relationships. But to be honest with you, I was searching my heart this week about this issue of greed. And greed is hard to see in the mirror. It's really hard to see in the mirror. You don't really see greed. I've never had anybody come up to the altar and say, "Pastor, will you pray for me? I have greed." Nobody's ever asked about it. We come forward and we're like, "You know, I got a problem. I can't pay my bills this month," or, you know, or this or that. But nobody ever says greed steals and robs us of the life that God has for us. It really does. And by the way, what is greed? I'm going to boil down all of Jesus' teachings, and he teaches a lot about this issue of greed with this simple little statement. Greed is the assumption that it's all for my consumption. Greed is the assumption that it's all for my consumption. In fact, if I was going to title this message, it would be the consumption assumption. And I'm not Dr. Seuss. It's to think about that everything that comes in, everything that comes my way is for me, 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 me. And we could be a church that's like, well, everything that comes in is for me, us four. Let's just improve this little, let's improve this, let's have nicer carpet, nicer chairs. And we would miss the opportunity to open up an outreach in the middle of the town. Greed just is, it's me. And listen, watch this. You can never fully satisfy greed. There's no meal big enough that says, "Oh, that's good enough," and you'll never be hungry any longer. You know what I'm talking about? It always has to be more. And Jesus understands how powerful this spirit is. And there is a, listen to me, I'm not saying this lightly, there is a demonic spirit behind this issue of greed. Many people call him mammon. I've dealt with it here in this area. It's like, I call it like a spirit of poverty, and I don't mean just keeping people poor. I mean keeping people outside of the idea that God wants to use them because they're always having to worry about themselves and they're missing God's purpose for their life. And Jesus says, if you give in to that darkness, how great that darkness will be. If you give in to that greedy attitude of self, I got me, and you'll get mad. Listen to me. You'll get mad at other people. And you'll even get mad at God because you'll think he's just helping you miss out on things. We're not here. Listen, we're not here to satisfy self. We're here to serve God because that's where real joy is. And Jesus says, you can't serve money. You can't serve that God of mammon, that greed, and me at the same time. You can't do it. You'll either love the one or despise the other. And I have so many people not living the purpose of God because they're mad at God. They're mad at God. Jesus goes on. By the way, two sides of this consumption, assumption, greed. You have the consumers. I've talked about that, consume, consume, consume. But I haven't talked about the other side it manifests. It manifests in the idea of hoarding. Both of it is the same. Consumers just spend. And we have consumer debt. And the hoarders just save. Hoard. Stack up. Put it in more closets. We live in a world of both of that. We live in America where we have more consumer debt than ever before. But watch this, we also live in America where we have more storage buildings than ever before. Isn't that funny? Have you ever thought about that? It's greed pushing all of it. Are you about against spending? I'm not against spending. Are you against saving? I'm not against saving. I'm against doing it outside of the order that I told you to. So it's greed is pushing all of it. And Jesus says, if you're going to live that way, if you're going to live controlled by greed, watch what he deals with here. Verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Time out. What? Do not worry about life? Have you seen what it's like? Have you seen the news? Have you seen our economy? Have you seen the gas prices? What? Time out. Jesus says, do not worry about your life. What you'll eat or your body, what you'll wear, is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the air. Do they not sow or reap or store away in the barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them? Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, watch this, by worrying add a single hour to your life? Valid question, isn't it? When you live in an attitude of greed, spend, save, all about me, you will worry. Because you'll worry about where's the next thing coming? What do I have enough? Is somebody going to come break in and steal my stuff that I do have? What my kids, the kids that they go to school with, they have the nicest shoes. My kids, what about my kids? If they don't have the nicest shoes, they'll be talked about. We worry. And Jesus says, is worrying accomplishing anything? Is worry accomplishing anything? Many people will say, you know, Pastor, will you please pray for me? I'm dealing with worry. I almost want to jump right at the issue like Jesus did. Where are you consuming and hoarding where you shouldn't be? What's going on there? Where's your heart? Where's your heart in this? Watch what he goes on to say. Verse 28. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field? I don't actually have this, but I'm going to read it to you. Flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow and thrown in the fire, will not much more he clothe you? You of little faith. What's he saying? Listen, look at the examples. Look at the examples. Look at the birds in the air. Look in the flowers of the field. I take care of those. You're more valuable than them. Jesus was using examples. He's preaching right there in the field where birds are flying over and grass is right around them. And he said, look around. Look around you. See how God has taken care of them? Now, let me give you an example. Watch what God just has done for this church. We're one of the poorest churches in the area, and God has given us the ability to reach out and do things that other churches have not been able to do.
Amen.
Won't God do the same for you? Watch this. Aren't you more valuable? Aren't you more valuable than even this church ministry? Yes, you are. Your life is valuable to God. If God is going to do this for this church because we're living in the principles of God and we're like, God, I don't want greed here. We're going to get rid of greed. We're going to get rid of that. And he blesses and does things and just works and things. Aren't you more valuable than that? Aren't you more valuable than a life that you think that you're living? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Watch this in verse 31. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Verse 32. For even the pagans run after all these things. Now this was insulting his group. These are Jewish people who are proclaiming that Jehovah is God and he's calling them Gentile pagans. Pagans are people who believe, oh, you know what? Maybe there's a God, but he's really not involved. He really just doesn't care. He's like, look, pagans live that way. Pagans live that way. Pagans live in our culture today. Spin, 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 spin. Save, 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 save. Me, 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 me. That's how pagans live. And you're not a pagan. You're supposed to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. And then he says the secret to all of it. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Now wait one second. How would our lives look different if we knew that our Heavenly Father knew? And we knew that He cared. How would your life look different if you knew that your Heavenly Father knew all the things that you're worrying about, concerned about, the issues of your children, and you knew that He cared? You see what this really is? It's a trust issue, isn't it? It's a laying down of our lives and taking up our cross and following Him. It's really not, well, you know what, I don't know if I totally agree with the order that he said that. You know what it really is? It's the heart and saying, God, do I trust you or not? Am I going to be a pagan by the way I live or a follower of Jesus Christ? How would your life look different? How would this church, listen to me, how would this church look different if we honestly knew that God knew and we honestly knew that God cared? What type of step of faith would we be willing to take? Do you hear me? You're scared. I know you are because I felt the same thing in my life. We felt it in the struggles of our lives. It's scary. It's scary. But is Jesus real or not? Is he real or not? Do you believe that he is for you or not? Remember what I told you last week? You got to grab hold of this. God is not absent. He's not absent. And he's not apathetic. He doesn't just not care. And listen to me, he's not angry at you. He's not punishing you by keeping you in poverty. He's not punishing you. He's trying to deal with our hearts. He's trying to deal with our hearts. And then he gives us, and I've been driving home to this, Matthew 6:33. For seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. What was Jesus saying? He's given us the antidote to greed. And the antidote to greed is to take self off the throne and to put Christ back there. It's not about the amount, it's about the position. And if you keep assuming that it's all for your consumption, then you will die hungry and thirsty, because stuff was never meant to satisfy you. But Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary. Come to me who are thirsty. Come to me who are hungry, and I will give you bread. I will give you water. I will give you something that satisfies your life. And he tells us, guys, here's the antidote for it. Seek first his kingdom. What is that? His presence. Amen. Seek his presence. By the way, you can't have a kingdom without a king. Amen. Here's so many people saying, well, I want his kingdom to come, but they don't want Jesus. Amen. The kingdom is the King Jesus. It's who he is. By the way, if you don't love Jesus, you're not going to like heaven. Because that's what heaven is. It's just Jesus everywhere, lighting up everything. Well, I want to go to heaven. I don't know if I like that Jesus guy. You're not going to make it. I'm sorry. So you won't have to worry about it. It's his kingdom. It's his presence. It's like, all right, I know we got bills. I know we got issues. But you know what? I want to love God with all of my heart. I want to seek him. It's his presence. That's what his kingdom is. The second thing, it's his purpose. That's what his kingdom is. God has a purpose. You ever thought about that? God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose for this area. God has a purpose and he has a plan. He has a purpose in his plan. And when you're so worried about your little stuff and things and issues, and you're worried, 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 consume, 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 hoard, 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 guess what you can't do? You can't live out God's purpose. And that's what frustrates me so much as a pastor. I'm just being honest with you. It's not problems. I can handle problems. We can work through, we can pray about problems. And what frustrates me so much as a pastor is people who are constantly worried about problems that never move into their purpose. Amen. The worst thing that I can do as a pastor is constantly deal with your problems. The very best thing that I can do for you as a pastor is to say there is a purpose bigger than your problems to live for. And step out there. Well, I don't know. It's not the right time. I don't have the money to do that yet. I never have. We didn't have a lick of anything when we stepped out and did this. We would have waited around forever.
Amen.
Well, it was easy for you just came and started a church. No, it wasn't. I was cutting grass and begging people to come to church and give me some money to cut their grass. That's how I lived. It's hard. It's difficult. But you know what? I don't regret a bit of it. And if I had to, I'd go back over and do it all again. Why? Because there's a purpose that drove me. And the purpose was always bigger than the problem. It was always bigger. And we were always joy. All joy was always in our heart. Happiness was in our heart. We never had problems. We had problems. We had a watermelon burst in our home that rotted, that destroyed our whole floor in our house. That was a demonic watermelon. Demon-filled watermelon that just got everywhere. We're throwing the holy water around and everything else, trying to cast out that spirit. We had to remove everything. We got problems. But you know what? This is the first time I talked about it. Been going on for a few weeks now. Why? Because I got a bigger purpose than my problem. I don't worry about my floor and what's going to happen. How are you going to live your life? Run after God's presence. Get involved with His purpose. Why don't stop worrying about your little stuff and get in a soup kitchen and serve it? We got an opportunity coming up for that. Amen? Amen. Go out into the East House, the area where Buddy's house is, and let's just reach out to some really poor and hurting people. I promise you, your little problems will seem really little. Amen. I mean, do we believe this or not? Do you know that your Father knows and He cares? Do you know? And I, honestly, there was times that I worried. I could have worried. Like, there was a time I had to preach a funeral and I didn't have a suit. I mean, how awkward would that be if you show up in gym clothes to a funeral to preach a funeral? Honestly, I'm not exaggerating. And I was like, well, these people want me to preach their funeral. God, I don't even have a suit to preach. And it's getting close to the time. Guess what was in our mailbox? A few $100 somebody just put in there. God always takes care. Always takes care. But you got to live for something bigger than yourself. Amen. He provides seed to the
sower.
It's His presence. It's His purpose. Now watch this. His kingdom and His righteousness. You know what it also is? It's His purity in your life. God is more concerned with your heart than your bank account. That's what He says. Seek first to get rid of the greed than to have the new vacation. I know that's hard, isn't it? You ask me, why do you give, Pastor? I give because I don't want to be a greedy person. That's why I give. I have learned, I was searching my heart out, and God showed me that there was still some greed in my heart. And I was like, oh, God, greed, because greed is destroying me, destroying the joy that God wants to give me. In fact, I got so aware of this one night of praying. I was in the living room praying about this, and God was showing me. But by the way, when you ever ask God, God search my heart, He will. And He was showing me the greed that was still in my heart. And I was like, oh. And He was showing me how it's robbing me of the joy and the blessing that He wants to work even more in my life. And I didn't think I was a greedy person. And I was like, oh, okay. And I walked in the bedroom and I laid down with Jen and I said, hey, by the way, don't ever say this. And I said, hey, are you aware of your sinfulness? And I wasn't meaning that to attack her or to further examine her own life. I was just like, I wasn't even aware of this stuff. But so as I learned the hard way, don't ever ask your wife, are you aware of your sinfulness? Because they'll be like, what? But you know what? Greed is just so deceptive. It just like a little snake in that church that I was talking about. It creeps in and it starts robbing. Because our natural bent is to start worrying and getting me. And God says, there's no joy in that. There's no joy in that. So, let's look at it again. Work. Work for the glory of God. Amen. Give. 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 I can't give 10%. Fine, give something. You know, if the widow gave 2 mites, that's good. That's good. By the way, 2 pennies got together, and you know what they said? They said, we want to make some sense. I know, I got a whole list of them if you want to hear them all. I'll tell you that. Work. Give. Save. Live. And have fun. If you hang around us enough, we love to go and we have fun. I love to laugh. You know what we love to do? If you're going to go out with us, we love to talk about doing something for Jesus, and we love to laugh. You know, because there's just so much joy in that. It's so fun. I told Buddy, we're talking about this morning about what God's about to do, and he's like, man, thank you so much for just, you know, getting on board with this. And I was like, man, are you kidding me? This is so much fun. And he's like, you're right. It is fun. It's fun. It's fun living in God's purpose. Why don't you bow your heads with me? Maybe God is challenging your heart right now. And you're saying, but God, I've got these bills. But God, I've got this. Listen to me. Worry will destroy your life. So here's what the Lord wants me to do. And he told me that he would give me the authority to do this. There is a spirit that's been sucking God's purpose and God's presence out of your life. And it's a demonic, poverty, mammon-type spirit that's been holding you underneath a lid that you could not experience God's best for you. You've thought that, oh God, I've got to take care of this because you really don't know that God knows and God cares. You're not really sure. Or maybe you feel like he's let you down in the past and you've given permission. You've given permission. Maybe you're not even aware of it, but you've given permission to this demonic spirit to control you, and you can't serve both God and money. You're serving something. You're serving something. So I need to know right now. I need to know if you're serious about what's about to happen. And I want to give you an opportunity right now in this place to confess your heart to God. A few nights ago when I was in my chair in the living room and God was searching my heart, I honestly came before him and I said, oh Lord God, thank you first of all for showing me that. It could have been like a cancer that destroyed me and I didn't even know it was there. Thank you for showing me the greed that's in my heart. Now Lord Jesus, would you please forgive me? Forgive me. Forgive me. And break that hold off of my life right now in Jesus' name. Would you pray that prayer with me? Lord Jesus, forgive me. And break that hold of greed off my life right now. Now fill me with your presence. And where I am weak, you become strong. Help me seek you first, your purpose first, and your purity in my heart first. Jesus Christ, listen to me, listen, listen. Jesus Christ paid the price for this, for your freedom, my freedom. He's the one. It's all a work of grace. It's all a work of grace. He has given us all the freedom from this idea of greed in our hearts. And he's come to bring light into the darkness. And how great of a light it is. The light will pierce the darkness. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 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 I feel him working right now. I feel him working right now. I feel him working right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Confess your hearts before him. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now stand on your feet with me. Stand on your feet with me. Kyle, you can either play this or we can play it on the song. But we're going to sing this song again. We're going to sing this song again. And then I'm going to pray a prayer. And God's going to break the spirit that's been holding us back. There's even more. There's even more that God has for us.
Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Straight in the chain. Straight in.
purpose. Freedom to get in God's presence. Freedom from worry. Freedom from fear. Freedom. Freedom in Jesus' name. Freedom in Jesus' name. Freedom in Jesus' name. Right now, right now, right now, right now, right now, right now. That's that fear that's been trying to control you, been trying to hold you back from accepting your calling. I feel it so strong in the spirit right now. That fear that says, well, you're just not at the right place right now. You just can't do that right now. You can't take that step of faith right now. That is a lie from the pit of hell. That's a lie from the pit of hell. I take authority over that lie right now in Jesus' name. And I speak hope and faith into your heart.